This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to The Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. This is David Law here. You might have thought that I wasn't going to be on the podcast this week because I kept telling you I wasn't, didn't I? Because I'm the media director here at the Fevertree Championships and I sit alongside the tournament director inside his office overlooking Centre Court. It is 10:45 at night after another fantastic day of tennis. And we're going to start this edition of the Tennis Podcast with a quick quiz. Why am I on the Tennis Podcast? Is it because we want to give the tennis public what they want? Is it because I hate not being the centre of attention? Or is it, C, we messed up the recording earlier, like fools? Answer at the end, but meanwhile, your presenting team tonight sound like a solicitor's firm, because it's Law and Farrow. I'm David Law. Here is the tournament director, Stephen Farrow. How's the day gone, generally, Stephen? It's been rather better than our recording first take. Hopefully this one's better.
It has been a great day, and it was capped off tonight by the fact that there were a few drops of rain that began to fall around Centre Court at the beginning of the Leighton Hewitt match. There were big dark clouds overhead, and somehow those dark clouds swerved round the Queen's Club.
Well done on that.
It was terrific, and we managed to managed to complete the match, and eventually the sunshine appeared, and Leighton Hewitt and Nick Kyrgios won through in a sensational tiebreak at the end of that doubles match in front of about 5,000 people still on our centre court. So it was a fantastic day.
It was good, isn't it? We try to be as objective as we can, don't we? I mean, we are, really. We're trying to put on a great tournament. We like all the players. I mean, most of them are good lads. But Leighton Hewitt, I think, well, we have a soft spot for him, really, don't we? I mean, not only within the tournament, but just because of what he means, really. I mean, he's been doing this for 20 years, and seeing him, I mean, I know Pierre Hugerbert and Nicolas Mahut are great guys, but seeing Hewitt win alongside Kyrgios tonight was pretty special.
Yeah, I mean, it's an irresistible partnership, those two. And you know, you and I, David, spoke at the time when we were approached by Leighton about having a wildcard into the tournament this year, and I don't think either of us could resist it, because the idea of seeing Leighton back out on centre court and the fact we were able to put him on centre court today was so special. And when he was introduced to the crowd and seeing him back out there fighting hard for every point, fist pumping every time they won a point, I mean, it was something else. And as you say, I mean, we love Pierre Hugues and Nico. I mean, they are two-time champions. I mean, they are two of our very favourite players who play this event. But seeing Leighton out there again was sensational. It really was. And the atmosphere was really special.
And he got a wild card today for the Wimbledon doubles. He can't stop.
No. Well, the funny thing is, of course, as you know, back in 2015, I presented Leighton with a trophy because that was the year he was retiring out there on centre court. And it was a really emotional occasion. And we were talking about Leighton's final match at Queen's, where he'd won the singles title here four times. And here he is again 3 years later, and he's playing really, really well. I mean, the level that he and Nick reached today, I mean, they were beating the French Open champions. I mean, Hugerbert and Mahut are a fantastic doubles partnership. As I say, they've won here twice, and there were Leighton and Nick playing together so well. And I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you know, for Leighton Hewitt, such an arch competitor, the idea that he's somehow going through the motions or just coming out just because he sort of fancies having a hit couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, the guy's there because he can still play at a really high level, and we saw that tonight.
Yeah, we sure did. The day started, that was the end of the day. This day started with a win for Francis Tiafoe of the United States, 3-set win over Leonardo Mayer of Argentina. Tiafoe, we're going to hear from a little bit later, had a really good chat with Gigi Salmon here on the Tennis Podcast, quite funny as well. So marking your card there, we'll talk about that later. But Tiafoe, this was a big deal for him, wasn't it? Because, you know, we've heard a lot of chat about him. He's, what, 20 years of age. A lot of people have said this guy could be really good, but now he's in the quarterfinals for the first time on a sort of surface and stage quite like this one.
Yeah, and it's really good to see him do so well, because I think this is the third time he's played the tournament. Last year he lost first round of qualifying, I think it was to Liam Brody. And to be honest, last year it looked like he was struggling a bit on the surface. And I did wonder at the time, I saw quite a bit of that match last year, whether he would ever be able to really show his talent on grass. Because we've seen him show that, you know, he can win big matches in big tournaments over the past sort of years, 18 months or so. And compete at the US Open like he did last September. And so it was great to see him out there for the first time on our centre court, winning a big match. I mean, he's a good guy. He's lots of fun. And he always has been. I mean, he's certainly something very different. I mean, you know, I'm sure your listeners know about his sort of sensational backstory and all the rest.
And you'll be hearing about that in the show, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is a great guy. He's lots of fun to have around. And I was really pleased for him because, like I say, he's not shown his best form here. But he's a talented guy. That was a great result for him today, because Mayer's no mug, that's for sure.
No, and his countryman, Sam Querrey, a champion here in 2010, then went on to get a win over Stan Wawrinka, three-time Grand Slam champion. That was close. They split the first two sets, really two close sets. And then, well, then Stan got very upset at the start of the third set. He ended up getting beaten 6-1 in that final set, Sam Querrey coming through. And then after that, Marin Cilic got a 3-set win over Gilles Muller. Basically, he always does that, doesn't he? He always loses the first set, does Cilic, against Muller, and comes back to win.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I have to say, I did expect Marin to come through that match today in pretty much how it worked out. Marin's bang on form. He really is. I mean, he looked really good first round. He looked good again today, obviously, in the second and the third sets. He seems in very good spirits. He obviously did so well here last year, did so well at Wimbledon last year. And actually, the way he's playing is like he was playing this time last year, when he sort of effortlessly moved through the draw. He's looking very ominous in the top half of that draw. I mean, he's really good form, really good grass court player. And, you know, beating Gilles Muller here is quite a feat. I mean, you know, Gilles obviously beat Denis Shapovalov in the first round, always plays well here. Marin's looking very good.
Yeah, he sure is. So, I mentioned all the centre court matches there. There was also another one on court number one with Daniil Medvedev going down against Jeremy Chardy. He is in unreal form, isn't he? Because didn't he win in Surbiton not so long ago?
He won in Surbiton, and then I think he got to the final in Hertogenbosch. I saw the end of that match, actually, and he's playing really well. I mean, he's a talented player, isn't he? I mean, he won Junior Wimbledon, I think, when he was younger. He's a good grass court player. But the last few years here, he's been in qualifying. And actually, Jeremy, he's a good guy. He always used to talk about Queens as his favourite tennis tournament, but the tournament at which he'd never won a match. And last year, he actually won through qualifying. And I remember it was like a cause for great celebration.
And I remember Vicky came in this office, didn't he? He was like, I won one.
He did. He was so excited that he'd finally won a match at Queens Club. And then, of course, this year, I mean, you know, Medvedev is solid. I mean, quarterfinalist last year, very good on this surface. And Jeremy was playing really, really well. And, of course, he is a local lad. He now lives in Parsons Green, just down the road, and is probably our local champion to this event.
So can we kind of claim him, or...?
I think we'll definitely claim him.
Right, okay, that's done. So I mentioned Francis Tiafoe. He beat Leonardo Mayer to reach his first ever grass court quarterfinal. Now, here he is with Gigi Salmon, and I have to mark your card here. She lost the clip that holds her microphone, and she had to gaffer tape it onto her dress to stop it falling off in the middle of the interview. So in case you wonder why they all burst into hysterics halfway through, that's why. Gigi and Francis Tiafoe.
Francis, firstly, congratulations. Your first grass court quarterfinal. How does it feel? It was good, especially in a 500 event. It's a tough draw this week. Obviously, you know, in events like this, you just kind of just get matches before Wimbledon, and you don't know how deep you can go because the level's so high. And it's good to get a couple matches under my belt, and I'm feeling pretty good out here.
How tough is it to move from the clay to the grass and adapt the game? Because just as a spectator, it looks almost impossible to do what you're doing on the clay and then change it to the grass.
I was lucky enough to have a couple, 2 weeks of practice. First couple of days was not my best, now it's pretty good. Now I feel so. It's mainly just the footing. It's hard. You can't quite push off as normally as you want. But I'm starting to really like the grass.
And what an experience and what a tournament! This tournament especially, because the field is so strong. Everywhere you look, there are challenges to face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean there's no easy match at all, and I think it's good. And everyone likes coming to Queen. It's such a good event. The history is great. So many legends of our sport have won this event, and it's just an honor even being in the draw, is it?
Now you're 20 years of age now. Something you were involved in at the Next Gen Finals. It was the first year last year. How has that changed things for you? Because it feels, from our point of view, that more people are talking about the younger guys, and we're sort of getting to know you a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, the younger guys are, for whatever reason, playing extremely well right now, last couple of years. And it's good to see, the game's been slowly evolving, and, guys are believing. You have one guy who goes deep, you're going to have another guy go even deeper the following week, and so on and so forth. So I think it's good to be a part of it. A new crop of guys, so we'll see. Hopefully we just keep going.
We talk about the younger guys, we're finding out about them, and when I hear your name, we talk about the game, but we talk about coming through into the game. What is your first memory of playing tennis, being around tennis?
Just being about, 3 years old and tapping a ball against the wall. I remember that almost every day. I think about it all the time. It's crazy. It's crazy to think I'm even doing half the things I'm doing right now. Never thought it was going to go this far. Couldn't be more happy that it did, but this definitely wasn't a goal in the early stages, but here I am.
But you're in a situation where you almost couldn't get away from tennis. This incredible story about your parents coming over from Sierra Leone and your father working at a tennis centre, so really every morning you open the door and there were the tennis courts.
Exactly, and that's what it was, and that's all we knew. It was no if ands buts about it. You're going to get out there, you're going to play some tennis, and me and my brother, we enjoyed it. It's going to be part of our life forever, is it? And I'm truly really excited.
Oh my god. I think what's so funny about his upbringing in tennis courts? Hang on.
If you can just hold it.
Shall I just hold it? Just don't laugh, because it's extremely weird. be holding this. Oh, Francis, cool. I apologise. A lot of people talk about parents when they're growing up. They take them to tennis, they take them to soccer, they take them to whatever. I know your father was there, but was he encouraging you to play tennis? Was he saying, Francis, get out there, use a racket, or was it your own choice?
Nah, he didn't have to do anything. He was kind of just there. it wasn't anything, him stressing really. He said, I'm giving you all the opportunities. It's I'm not gonna push you if you don't want to do it. That's cool, but it's here if you want it. So, him being nonchalant about it, kind of made us both want it. it was kind of just, I felt like, that he would bring up, constantly if we didn't. I'm really happy that I went full force with it.
And what was his role at the tennis center?
He's a maintenance worker. He actually wanted people help build the academy, literally. So it opened in 99, and in 2001, he kind of came over. So.
And your mother was working very, very hard at the time, so there was a situation where you were actually sleeping, living, staying at the tennis center?
Exactly. We spent numerous nights, almost like three times in a week, probably. And it worked out for my mom great, because obviously she's, working through the nights, and it would have just been me and my bro, 3 years old, in the house alone, so I don't think that's a good recipe. So, Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better. And I think they did an unbelievable job.
You talked about hitting against a wall, but I always imagine the great thing about having a twin is that you've got a playmate there. So
yeah, at that time, I don't think our level was good enough to play against each other at 3 years old. But yeah, no, we played with each other a ton. Yeah, obviously, when we started being able to play, you know, with the normal net and starting to hit from the baseline and hit spin and all that, we had a ton of fun playing with each other back and forth, heated arguments, you know, running after each other, getting pissed off, you know how that goes. It was definitely a good time.
And tell me of your tennis roots with Franklin. How did that go? Were you always, was it the same goal for you both be professional tennis players? Did he have different ideas? How did that work in the household?
We both had it. I mean, he had different ideas at times, which he's definitely the adventure type. You know, like to do a bunch of different things. I kind of locked in. I had one focus, and that was pretty much it. But I mean, he's doing just fine. You know, he's currently at some futures with a good friend of mine, and he's going to game of tennis, which matters. And yeah, I mean, no complaint at all.
You talked about another of those early memories: your parents dressing you the same and sending you to school. How did that go down?
it was funny, man. We would joke around. We're not identical, but still, I mean, we joke around and change each other's names and do all that fun stuff.
Oh, so. Did you? So you pretended you were the other?
Yeah, yeah, we do that all the time. So
did you get into trouble?
Here and there, but you take the meeting. It's all good. So now we had a ton of fun as kids, definitely.
Now we have a final test for you here. I'm going to hand you this jar here, Francis.
Perfect.
You're going to pull out some sticks, read the question, and then give us your best answer. You are allowed to pass if there's something you think, I can't answer that.
Okay.
Okay, so what's the first one?
What's the best thing about being a man?
It's a good one, isn't it?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know, you hope to wear the pants in your relationship. I don't know.
That's actually a good answer.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. Yeah, it's fair enough. Right, should I try another one? I didn't think they're all as hard as that.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
Is that quite a hard one to start with?
What were you singing at karaoke? Do it. Oh, God.
Are you a karaoke man? Do you sing?
I mean, in the showers with those, you know.
So what would you sing in the shower?
I know a couple, like, you know, rap songs, or maybe, you know, if I'm feeling the type of way, maybe it's a slow love song.
You sing a love song in the shower?
Yeah, depends on the moment.
Love song in the shower. I think that's quite nice. Right, let's do one more.
Yeah, one more.
I won't make you sing.
No, okay, I was getting nervous there for a what habit do you find most annoying?
Maybe it's something your brother does. When you were growing up, you were like, oh, seriously, Franklin, stop it.
God, there's a lot of things he does. probably when... And tardiness, probably. Like, he'd be the type of guy, like, we're all ready to go, and he's forcing everybody to go, and then we're all ready to go. And he'd be like, oh, wait, but hold on, I got to get in the shower right now. That should drive me nuts.
So are you very punctual?
No, I'm pretty bad as well. but he's just worse, so that makes it...
Oh, wow.
I'm always late, usually.
So it's difficult getting the TFO brothers out the house?
Exactly, yeah, very, very tough. Full-time job, sure.
Francis, it's been a pleasure. I hope you're on time for your quarterfinal match. It's been a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you.
So Francis TFO, Gigi Salmon, and a gaffer-taped microphone there. Francis plays Jeremy Shardy in the next round. Now, on to tomorrow. Stephen, we have another packed order of play, and it starts with some doubles. I mean, it's not for the nicest reason, because Miloš Raonic was forced to pull out of the tournament with injury. He hurt his pectoral muscle when he was serving against Yuki Bambury, and he's had to have some treatment and scans on that. So what it does mean, though, is we get some top draw doubles first up. Who's playing?
We do. We get to see Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez against Kulhoff and Daniel, who obviously came in as our lucky losers today, and then beat Novak Djokovic and Stan Wawrinka out on court one. And you know, Jamie and Bruno won the title last year, and so it'd be great to see them out on centre court. As you say, it's sad that Milos had to pull out. I mean, he was looking very good. Obviously, he did well in Stuttgart last week. I mean, I would have said he was one of sort of my favourites to do really well here last year, where he's done so well in the past. But, you know, putting Jamie Murray on centre court is something that's going to be very good for our crowd, and, you know, to see our champions back out there. And they came through a tight match. I mean, that first round match against Mannarino and Martin, it was quite late in the day the other day on court one, and they squeaked through really in the champions tiebreak. And there's obviously more to come from them in this competition.
Yeah, and that's right. We then have Kyle Edmund in action, the great British number one, and he's got Nick Kyrgios. Kyrgios is just taking on the Brits, basically, here at the Fevertree Championships. That is going to be electric, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nick was brilliant in the doubles earlier on today. I mean, he was...
It's like the shackles have come off, isn't it?
Yeah, he was really on his game playing alongside Leighton, and it'd be very exciting to see what he does out there tomorrow. But Carl was so impressive the other night. I mean, he had to wait a long time to play that match against Ryan Harrison. I mean, you know, all the matches before him on Tuesday went on so long, and it was easily a match that he might have lost. I mean, having, you know, Ryan Harrison, a good grass court player, very solid, good server, and playing out there on centre court when it's quite late in the day, you know, I was concerned that might be a tough match for him, but he came through so confidently. And actually seeing the way he clinched that match, it was it showed a level of maturity which shows his development. Because, you know, a year ago, first round against Denis Shapovalov, he was in a winning position, and he ended up losing it on his serve. He was broken on his serve and ended up going out. And I think it showed real development, the way he was so confident and professional in closing out that match. So who knows tomorrow? I mean, you know, Carl's looked good. I mean, he was the first player to arrive here for practice, which was over a week ago now. So he's had plenty of time out there on the practice court. So it's a very, very good match in prospect.
And you've then got the small matter of Novak Djokovic against Grigor Dimitrov in the second round. I mean, it is stacked. I think it's 6-1, the head-to-head between Djokovic and Dimitrov. But I suppose if any surface Dimitrov is going to fancy his chances on, it might be this one. I mean, Djokovic has won 3 Wimbledon, so he obviously knows what he's doing. But Dimitrov's comfortable on it too.
Yeah, of course he is. And of course he's had such great success here. And I suppose what's interesting here is that Grigor is such a favourite at Queen's, and he's had such consistent success here. I mean, obviously he's only won the title once, but he's always played good tennis at Queen's. So it's almost like a home court for him. So it will be interesting. I mean, look, he did okay first round. I mean, Novak was pretty imperious against John Millman. And obviously we know that Novak at his very best on grass is very, very difficult to compete against.
He looks happy here, doesn't he, Djokovic? I mean, like, he seems to be just... Seeing him around, he seems pretty comfortable in his own skin at the moment here.
Yeah, he's very relaxed. I mean, I've never met him before, because obviously he's not played this event for 8 years. He's very relaxed. I mean, you know, you and I both saw him watching the football in the player lounge the other day. I mean, he's clearly someone who gets on very well with the other players.
Funniest celebration I've seen all week of a goal. He basically just got up and sprinted around the player lounge, which is pretty sizable.
Yeah, he did. It was some moment. And both he and his team seem to really enjoy it here. And he's been good to deal with, very positive. And as I say, when he was out there on court the other day, it was really exciting, because there's someone who I've always wanted to come and play this event. He is, you know, 12 Grand Slam titles. You know, he's one of the best players ever to play the game. And it was really exciting to see him out there on court the other day. And it'd be really exciting to see how he does against Grigor. I mean, that is an absolutely terrific match. It really is. And I'm really proud that's on the order of play tomorrow.
Yeah. And now there's one more match, fourth match of the day. What we got there?
We've got Julien Beneteau against Adrian Mannarino.
Beneteau, who's rivaling Leighton Hewitt for the I'm Never Going to Retire award.
Yeah, because he was meant to retire last year, wasn't he? And actually, I'm pretty sure after the doubles final, when they lost to Murray and Suarez, I'm pretty sure he said it was going to be his last year, didn't he? I think you did the interview, and I'm pretty sure he said that. So I don't think we expect him to be back. But, you know, he got through in three-setter against Thomas Berdych. He's a really good grass court player. He obviously came through qualifying. He was very close to making the main draw direct acceptance. His ranking is still really good. You'd certainly give him a really good chance tomorrow the way he's playing. I mean, Mannarino, it's difficult to know what to make of that match against Dan Evans first round because, you know, when you win a three-setter but you've lost the middle one set, 6-love.
And he was 5-2 down as well in the third, and Evans probably feels that he should have got that one.
Yeah, absolutely. But Mannarino is a very solid grass court player. I mean, it feels like, I actually don't know how old he is, but it feels like he's been playing this tournament for at least the last decade. And he's a very solid grass court player. So, you know, it'll be an interesting one. I mean, that's last up on centre court tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see who emerges from that to play Novak or Grigor in the quarterfinals.
All still to come. Can't wait.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, as well as all the tennis that we've been watching, we have had some pretty big name guests here watching. One of them included the former Prime Minister, tennis fan David Cameron, who caught up with Gigi Salmon.
David, how's your day been so far at the Fevertree Championships?
Well, it's great to be here. It's a wonderful tournament. Always a good warm-up to Wimbledon as well, to see who's playing well. And pleasure to watch Wawrinka, and looking forward to Cilic.
Now, when I did a search of David Cameron and tennis, a lot of images of you playing tennis came up.
Well, that's right. I'm a keen player. Played since I was less than 10, I think. Probably went to my first Wimbledon, watched Nastasi and Connors. That really got me excited. I was a huge Becker fan, and one of my great privileges as Prime Minister was getting Boris Becker to Chequers, and we played a charity game. And I returned one of his serves. And I remember throwing my racket in the air, leaping over the net and hugging him because I was so excited. He told me afterwards it wasn't full speed, but I was pretty happy.
I was wondering, what was Becker's reaction when you leapt over the net and gave him a hug?
I think he's quite used to that sort of behaviour, actually. He was very good. It was a charity game with some people who'd bid to play with us for charity. And we had a great match. It was good fun.
What are the best courts you've ever played on?
I love, actually, when you go abroad and you play on those clay courts that you don't really get here. I'm rubbish at it, actually, on clay courts, but it's such fun, it's so different. So I enjoy that in Spain and places like that, where it's a totally different experience.
You've mentioned a few players when you were growing up. Who is the standout one for you of the generation when you were starting to play tennis?
Well, I'm a lefty, so in one sense anyway, a left-hander, and I always loved watching McEnroe. Not the behaviour, but I loved the way that he served, the way he played. I love the style. And so he was the one who inspired me when I was growing up. But more recently, I think Federer is just the most beautiful player to watch. I always want Andy Murray to win, of course I do. But there's something just really lyrical about watching this man play tennis.
And I think the wonderful thing about tennis, in normal life we have people to help us in our jobs, but they have to problem solve on their own out there on the court.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, it is so much in the mind. And I was just watching Wawrinka have 5 set points and lose them. And then lose the set. I would really struggle if that happened to me, you know, because you can't get it out of your head. You keep going back to it. So it's a very tough game, a lot of it in the head, and that's why I think I'm a better doubles player. I like having someone else to blame.
So if you're playing doubles and you're selling yourself to someone to play doubles with you, what would be the strengths of the Cameron game, and what would you need their strengths to be to counter the weaknesses?
Well, I think left-handers have an advantage because we're used to playing right-handers all the time, and so I think there's a bit of an advantage there, so a bit of spin on the serve. But getting increasingly slow around the court, 51, and the knees are dodgy, the tennis elbow is terrible, the fitness levels aren't good, the weight's going up. I need someone pretty young and fit to partner me these days.
And you mentioned Andy Murray. He returned to competitive action here at Queen's. How wonderful is it to see him back playing?
It's great. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's also a great man. It was an honour. I got him to Downing Street after he won his first Wimbledon trophy. And I remember we played a game in Downing Street, and we put a ball through one of the chandeliers, which the staff weren't too keen about, but for me it was an enormous honour. And you know what I think is so exciting is he has inspired so many young players in Britain. They watch that and they see what he's done, and that's going to be great for the game. So it's been an extraordinary thing in our lifetimes. You know, I mean, I'm a great fan of Andrew Castle and previous Britain number ones, but something Andy's done to win Wimbledon twice, to, you know, perform at such a high level, it's so inspiring. So let's hope he makes it all the way back.
And now we're seeing our current British number one in Kyle Edmund, who seems to be handling things very well.
Well, it's very exciting. As I say, I think, you know, these people have all been inspired by seeing British players at the very highest level. And, you know, if I think back to my childhood, there was Roger Taylor, there was Tim Henman, there was, I'm trying to think who else, well, Andrew Castle. There were great players, but seeing someone actually go all the way and win, I think that what that means to teenagers and rising players today, I think it's a huge amount, because actually role models matter much more in life than perhaps we ever give them credit for.
And finally, I might know the answer to this because you already mentioned his name, but if I could have a prediction for a Wimbledon winner in a few weeks' time.
I won't even go there because I will. It's called the curse of Cameron. If I do that, I will put a. But I want Andy to make a full comeback and a full recovery. And great to see him playing yesterday. And you know, he is a very determined man. I know that from his previous career. So let's hope he makes it all the way.
David, thank you for your time and enjoy the tennis.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Well, how about that? Finally, an interview in which we recorded with an outer microphone issue. How nice. So, Stephen, it's late at night now. It's after 11 o'clock. It's dark outside. The last orders have been called at the bar. I think you and I better go and get our customary 5-hour sleep and be back at it again for another day. What's the weather forecast like, by the way?
For tomorrow, it's good. It's good. I mean, you know, we've been very lucky so far. And actually, I mean, touch wood, because we should never take it for granted. But you look at the weather forecast for tomorrow and the rest of the week, we're looking at 23, 24 degrees at the moment. So we should be set fair, hopefully. But you and I, David, have both seen that the weather can change very quickly here at the Queen's Club.
So sure can.
Let's not get carried away.
All right, we'll try not to. Stephen's organised all the weather. He's organised the player field. That's going well. The grass is nice. The beer I'm drinking at the moment is quite nice as well. But that's been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. And what was the answer I was going to give you? Was it because you've all missed me? Was it because I can't bear not hogging the limelight? Or was it because some fool messed up the recording? It was probably all three. No, it was definitely C out of those. Sorry, everybody. It would have been an award-winning podcast. This one will have to do, though. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as you could. And we'll be back with another one tomorrow. We'll see you later. We've been brought to you in association with The Telegraph, with Melanie Bowes, our executive producer, with Triple S, with... who else is there? There's tennisballs.com. There's our ferret, our mascot, Charlie the Ferret, of course. And we'll be back tomorrow. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.